Welcome to the Financial Power Hour with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business. And now, your host, Christopher Music.
Welcome to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. I am your host, Christopher Music, and I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in to this show. You know, I put this show together to help you business owners achieve what I call financial power. This is to empower you and educate you on the successful actions you need to take to achieve your financial and business goals. My special guest today is business management expert Fred King with Silken Management Group. Today, I'll be talking with him about the problems and barriers that prevent business owners from achieving real success and how to overcome them. But before we hear from Fred, I want to talk about something that is very near and dear to a business owner, and that is control. There are three basic roles that you play when you own a small business. And our school system has basically taught us one of them. Now, the three roles are simply this. It's either the practitioner, if you're in a professional practice, or the technician, if you're in another kind of small business. It is the executive, when you're dealing with the executive functions of a business, and the owner. And those three roles must be played. It's like a hat that must be worn when you are playing this game called small business. Because anytime you neglect any one of these roles, there is failure right around the corner. And you probably observe that in your own particular business as it is now. So let's talk about these three roles. The first one is that technician or the practitioner. This is where you went to school or all your training, certification courses, doctoral degrees, whatever it is that you got from formal schooling to be able to deliver that service or product to the public. And most of those programs are pretty well vetted, but you learned how to do a technical skill. You know, if you were a dentist, you learned dentistry. If you are a personal trainer, you got a certified in how to provide personal training services, and so on it goes. All right, very well done. But unless you're working as an associate in someone else's firm or an employee, then you have something else that you have to be responsible for. And that's the next hat called the executive functions. What are those? Well, they start with strategic planning, coordinating all of the personnel in that organization and getting them moving together all toward the right direction, the right goal and purpose of that organization. You deal with personnel, hiring, training. You deal with sales and marketing, getting people in the door. Finance, to make sure that your organization is solvent. How about quality control, to make sure your technicians are actually delivering an uncorrupted product or service? And finally, public relations, making sure that you have a good reputation and you're thought well of out there. Those are a lot of skills that need to be learned and used so you can make it in small business, because every small business has those functions. It just is the way it is. And if you neglect them, then you suffer, which I'm sure you probably have felt at some point or another. The last role is that of the owner. And the owner is the one who is responsible for really two roles, the entrepreneur and the investor. As an entrepreneur, it's your responsibility as an owner to make the purpose of your organization well known and agreed to by everybody in the group. It is the mission of your organization, the vision. Why are you there? You see, it's making sure that you put the directors and the executives in place so that they can manifest the purpose of your organization to the world. That's a very high responsibility there as an entrepreneur. But not only that, you have the investor functions. As a professional investor, you have a couple responsibilities. Number one, You got to manage risk. Every business has enormous risk to it. In other words, chance of loss. So as a professional investor, the first thing we do is manage risk so that we can then expect to get rates of return or profits out of those risky activities. As a small business owner, we should be shooting for a 20 to perhaps 40% profit margin. Now, for professional service firms, that's pretty much well in the range. For other types of businesses, it may be less, but still aim for the top 10% of your industry. So that is really, from that point of view, risk first, then return expectations. Then finally, you have a responsibility to eventually dispose of that small business asset. You see, your business can outlive you and probably will. So what is your plan to transition that value to somebody else? If you don't have a plan to transition the value, it's going to die on the vine. It's going to die with you. You see? So thinking about that is probably pretty important because, well, you know, when you're 60, 70, 80 years old, you may not be wanting to work as much as you're doing now. Well, there's a plan for that. That's the whole world of financial planning, by the way. Household financial planning and business transition planning. It's all part of the same process of how do we build, accumulate assets, dispose of them at some point, create income from them. That's all into that realm. And those are really important functions to do. You cannot neglect those. So here's the interesting part about it. We know that you're technically trained. You go to CE conferences every year if you're a professional to get a continuing education. And there's always the new innovation that's going on that manufacturers train you in their new product or equipment. That's well and good. But how much did you learn about managing people or managing a business, being an executive or being an owner? Where'd you learn that in school? Probably didn't. You know, we have to figure that out. So I have with me today a very special guest for you because, you know, there are people here who have incredible experience in training and coaching business owners and being very successful. Our guy today has 30 years, and he's going to knock your socks off, I promise. So we're going to take a quick break, and up next, we're going to be talking with my special guest, business management expert Fred King, and he'll be giving you his insight and expertise on how to identify problem areas in your business and some tips on how you can get more control over your success. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Private practice, Millionaire Academy founder, and talk radio host of the Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music explains how not to lose the value of your life's work. What you leave behind is not what is engraved in stone monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others. Pericles, 5th century before Common Era, Greek statesman. Your estate is simply all of the assets you own or are entitled to under the law. A good estate plan will ensure your assets are dispersed according to your wishes when you pass. Estate planning includes different types of legal documents and instructions for your friends and family so they can act in your interest with confidence. Proper estate planning will perpetuate your wealth to your family, friends, and charities, and better accomplish the purposes for which that wealth was accumulated. Learn more about how not to lose the value of your life's work when you visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. That's pchristophermusic.com. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back to the Financial Power Hour. And before the break, I shared with you these three roles of a business owner, right? The practitioner or the technician, the executive manager, and the owner, the entrepreneur and investor. And I'm going to introduce my guest now because he's going to rock you. Okay, his name's Fred King. Fred has served in the professional practice consulting arena for over 30 years. Having overseen 5,000 businesses as the Senior Executive Consultant and Owner for Silken Management Group. He graduated from the University of Oregon and is a longtime Oregonian, with his family arriving in 1854. Fred was the chair of the Committee on Performance Excellence for the State of Oregon, with the mandate to review performance measures, leadership, policy, and results on all three branches of government. He introduced outcome-based budgeting to state government, and it is now a law being implemented throughout the state. Fred is also the former chair of the Leadership Council for the National Federation of Independent Business for the State of Oregon, with over 8,000 business owner members. He has served on the Governor's Small Business Council and the Southwest Washington Portland Metro Economic Task Force. He has also lectured MBA candidates at the university level on performance measures and outcome-based results. Fred believes that it is critical that leaders of an organization must drive clarity of strategy and ensure that the plan has measures with clear accountability in order to realize the results that they seek. I'm very pleased to welcome business management consulting expert Fred King with Silken Management Group.
Thanks, Christopher. Love being here. Looking forward to this.
Well, Fred, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it? You know,
yes,
we've known each other for I don't know how many years now, and we've worked together on many events and have many shared clients. And, you know, tell our listeners your story about how you got into the business management consulting and you know, how you've been able to do it for 30 years, man.
Well, good question. Originally, going back about 33 years ago, I had a business that was doing extremely well. It was growing. I'd been in business for about 10 years then, or about 8 years, and it was growth process, doing great. I had a good friend of mine who contacted me and asked me if I would be willing to work with him in his consulting firm. Gave me an offer I really couldn't refuse, and it seemed like the next level for me. So I said, sure, I'd be happy to get involved. And I got involved, and here I am, you know, 32 years later, still doing it. And it's great. And like you mentioned, done over 5,000 practices across the country. So there's a solid base now that I feel like I have in regards to practices.
Yeah. Now, what kind of practices do you work with? What kind of clients you got there?
Well, primarily veterinarian, dentist, and optometrist. Those are our real key three, the big three, we call them.
Okay, great. So, you know, you have these practice owners all over the country, and, you know, obviously they have problems in their businesses. So in your experience, what are some of the top problems that stops these practice owners or any business owner from achieving their desired level of success?
Well, I think the top problem, I think the first one that comes to mind is staff management. You know, the whole process of hiring staff, proper staff, really getting the right ones, training them properly. It's not an expertise that most doctors have been involved in, and it's really getting them on their post, on their hat, as you mentioned, monitoring them, really getting them accountable for what they do, quantifying that. What exactly are they doing? How are they doing it? Are they doing a good job on it? That whole process, I think, is one of the top problems that our clients face. Another one, which falls within that, is getting really a good office manager on post, on job, because that skill set is a very key skill set, because as a practitioner, most of the time, nearly 90%, 95% of the time, the doctor is doctoring, and they don't have time to be spending being an executive. They have to know the skill set, but the actual time doing it will be lessened, so therefore, they need a really good ops manager with those skill sets in place. Another one is a real systematic approach to what they're doing. That seems to be a clear problem. what goals are they trying to achieve, really having those clearly stated, and then the process of how they're going to go about doing those goals, what programs they're going to have in place, what projects, what are the most important ones to do first, second, third, fourth, and then ensuring that they're actually really doing them and getting them done properly. I think those are really two very key problems that our practice owners have when they're first starting with us.
Okay, well, that seems like an awful lot there. It's fundamental to the business. So give me some real-life examples of business owners that you've worked with that have the problems of, like, the staff management and training. Let's just start with that one. And what solutions have you advised them on? What kind of results did they get?
Well, you know, there's two parts to this. Let's take the example of somebody in a booming practice. Matter of fact, I'm thinking of a particular individual. They had a veterinarian practice. They came to us. Their practice, and she says that we have a video on it, and she'll actually say we were doing really well. They were going up in expansion. So you have an expansion mode going on. And the problem, of course, is when you got an expansion mode, you've got to hire quickly the right people. You got to get them on their hat, and you got to get them doing their job quickly. Well, that's what stagnated right there. You know, she could get it up to that particular level, and it started really bouncing her around in that practice. So, you know, we gave her the job descriptions that needed to go into place, prioritized what exactly needed to occur first, second, third, and fourth in regards to who would go where, be able to get the expertise that was already in there that could get passed down properly. Now, so that's one way. You can take that very same concept and you go to somebody else who is now needing to grow. They're having, I'm thinking of another person now, they were in a need-to-grow stage, you might call it. They were having difficulties. They've kind of plateaued out, and they really didn't know what staff to put where, and because they had limited resources. So you have to, you know, we did the analysis, did the evaluation, took a look at, okay, here's where you can take those resources, put those in place, and make it more efficient. And it turned, you know, it turned around the business. On the first business I mentioned, they went for another rocket ride, they were able to stabilize it and then take off with the proper jobs, the proper analysis in and all that. And with this one, it was a turnaround. We're able to put certain people in marketing, got them to understand how to properly market, how to properly get referrals, and, you know, turn the business around by getting results. It's all about getting a result in whatever the activity you're doing.
You know, that really comes down to that point, doesn't it? Getting a result. Now, y'all listening today, you heard Fred talk about the importance of job descriptions. Now, how many of you have a job description for every single position in your organization? I mean, down to the detail of every function that they do, checklists, forms, all of these different tools that make it so that people can actually do their jobs. You know, that is really one of the critical elements there I think he's talking about.
Absolutely.
Fred. And let's talk about this systematic approach now, you know, where you're talking about goals and plans and projects. Give me an example of how you've helped someone with that part of their business.
Sure. So, you know, there's different kinds of goals that people have to deal with. You got strategic planning goals for organizational efficiencies. You got financial goals. You got marketing goals. You got public relations goals. But let's take one example. Let's say a person has a practice and they can tell they're plateaued out. They flattened out a bit. So you would take a look at do an analysis on it. So the goal would be let's reorganize and make more efficient what our practice is. And then you would start taking it apart. You would take a look at everything coming in from when the new client comes in, walking him through step by step on what is happening with that new client. Then looking at that, what is being said along the way? What is being done along the way? How are people interacting with that client? Are there inefficiencies with that client? So then you analyze, you've already got your goal of you're trying to make it organizationally efficient. You, now you're doing the analysis. Then you sit down and you do it step by step by evaluating what is exactly the most important thing that you've got to put in today, tomorrow, the next thing that will now get your end result where you've got a higher efficiency ratio in relationship to your clients coming in and going through your process. So that would be goal setting and then putting in a systematic approach to achieving that particular goal. And then you're able to timetable it out and quantify it.
So give me a real life example of that, like either a dental office, veterinary office, where that was actually used, and tell me what result you got with that.
Sure. So as an example, I'm thinking of one right now. There was inefficiencies. It was quite apparent because they had quite a few staff, and their income and their we call the efficiency ratio, taking your gross income and dividing it by the number of staff that you have, was quite low. So we took a look at it and took a look at when the person walked in the door, how long did they have to wait? And then you found out they were waiting, 15 minutes to a half an hour. Well, everyone knows on their scheduling, if your scheduling is not really tight, if you don't have a real tight schedule, you'll have all these loose points into it. So found out right there that people were waiting, and then the efficiency ratio for the receptionist who was trying to get people pushed through was low because her job is to get people in and through, get them properly scheduled. So if you're looking at the scheduling book, we found out that a lot of the scheduling was incorrectly being scheduled. The person who was scheduling it didn't really understand how to properly schedule. So that was one inefficiency. Then the person went back into the operatory. This happened to be a dentist. They were sitting there. Again, they were sitting for too long because the other assistant, dental assistant, was working with another patient. They hadn't organized it. So when that person came back, there was somebody right there waiting, getting it moving, getting them going right now. So that inefficiency was dealt with. Then you find out that the doctor didn't have another assistant that could really help do some of the setups properly with the patient. So when the doctor came in, it was ready to go. Because when that doctor walks in, their expertise has to be really utilized 100%. They should not be doing anything that somebody else could be doing. And that's part of that process. So we had to analyze that, what could be gotten rid of so the doctor could be doing it. Then you get into...
Yeah, Fred, again, let's handle this on the after the break. We've got to take a little time for weather and traffic update now. We're going to continue to talk with Fred about how to take control of your business and achieve real success. You are definitely not going to want to miss the conclusion of this interview. Stay tuned for weather and traffic up next.
Private practice Millionaire Academy founder and talk radio host of Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, shares the three secrets to achieving unlimited wealth. Financial prosperity can be achieved by following three primary principles illustrated in a PIE triangle. The P represents protecting assets and income from the 83 plus specific and measurable risks threatening the long-term affluence of a household. I equals income, which actually creates abundance and an overall improved financial condition.
The E refers to expenses after income, earned in relation to funding the immediate and long-term goals of the household and its members. Each corner must work together to stay equal and strong and represent the overall financial condition of the family. What's important is the interrelationship of these three elements. To reach financial power and unlimited wealth, you must raise each corner of the pie triangle. Discover additional secrets in achieving a lifetime of financial success when you visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. This is the Financial Power Hour with Prosperity Coach Christopher Music. Make contact at 727-588-1540. And now, here's Christopher Music.
Okay, folks, we're back, and I'm here with business management expert Fred King, and we're talking about how to achieve real success in your business by tackling problems and barriers standing in your way. So, Fred, we were talking about before the break about this dental office and about you know, goals and efficiency. Why don't we just go ahead and continue that example?
Okay, great. So at that point, we're talking about the, you know, having the ability that the doctor is doing exactly what the doctor does extremely well, and which is their technical expertise. Now, having said that, the next step that we found out that at that point in time, the doctor does the analysis with the patient by looking at the x-rays and how they're doing and has to be very direct. This is what we found. The doctor has to be very direct on exactly what the patient needs. What exactly is it they need? Well, we found out that the doctor was a little bit mushy-mouthed about the whole thing. They weren't really communicating clearly exactly what was needed. Like, this is what you need, and making it very, very clear. Not harsh, just in good communication, but very clear. Then at that point in time, once that's known, if there's the next step, if this is the next step in regards to financial assistance or ensuring that the person does see it, they can pass, you know, they can pass it on to the financial assistant. And the financial assistant then would be able to clearly and quickly help the patient with their financial needs. So it was just that little break right from the beginning at the receptionist with the scheduling and digging in with the doctor of how they could communicate very clearly to the patient in what they needed and then passing them on for proper financial handlings at that time. So that was like one efficiency that was handled, but it made a huge difference, seriously, a huge difference in the practice because people now were being able to be properly communicated with and dealt with, so they felt really good about what they're supposed to do because they're not the experts. I mean, the patient's not the experts. They're looking for the doctor to be the expert and to clearly define what the problem is and how to handle it.
You know, it's amazing on how many points, just in that example that you gave from the receptionist through the doctor through finance, all those points that communication and that organization can break down, and each one of those broken down points costs time and money. It's fascinating.
Absolutely.
You know, okay, so now we've identified some common problems, confronted them, especially with training and the efficiencies of the system, got those solutions worked out. Let's talk about barriers. You know, I feel like there's a lot of self-help books on business management. There's just so many. They do a good job of pointing out potential problems in the business, and they offer solutions, but they never discuss barriers that an owner could face that gets in the way. Talk to us about the barriers that you see owners face as they attack a problem in their business.
Well, you know, there's the constant case of time. You know, one of the big barriers with an owner is, you know, they usually have different hats they're wearing. They have the owner hat, which is a particular hat. They've got their executive hat. They've got their doctor hat. And so what happens is that there's not enough time to get everything done. So they've got this barrier of time. And the question is, how does one handle that? And there's a couple of solutions to it that they need to put into place. One of them, of course, is the allocation of time when you're going to actually spend as an owner. The other one as an executive is to be able to have a system in place that you can quickly analyze your problems, which means I'm into measures, I'm into quantifiables, because that's really key. You can't be spending hours and hours trying to figure out what it is that's wrong. So time becomes a barrier, and that the actual problems that you're trying to identify as you're looking at it becomes a huge barrier because you don't have the time to look and figure it out. So one of the solutions for that particular time is that's why metrics go into place, having a really systematic approach to metrics, and that so you can really deal with the staff properly, and the ability to analyze really quickly what is really going on in your practice. So that's a I think a really important barrier that one has to look at it. Another barrier that comes up is having a really good understanding of marketing. You know, we're in a marketing world right now, and you've got to get a good team around you, of course, which is key. But one of the barriers is really understanding the needs of your patients and your clientele, and that's a marketing question. So how does one go about doing that? One of the key ways of handling that particular barrier is surveying, really understanding how to survey, how to ask the right question, because you got to find out from your patients, clientele, what is it that they want? What do they think is really important? What do they think that you're doing for them or not doing for them? So that's another barrier that is sitting there. We talked about it a few minutes ago, but I think properly hiring personnel is a huge barrier. Whether if you're in a boom activity, being able to you don't have enough people. There's recessionary areas, and then there's areas that where things are going out the roof is industry wise, and you're trying to find good personnel. So that becomes a barrier of what personnel, where do you find them, how you find them. And then when you're in a recessionary time period, when you there's lots of people, but you don't want to hire, how do you actually get the best work out of the people you have? Which goes back to, you know, what you had said even earlier and we had talked about is job descriptions, really making sure that the job descriptions are really efficient. You know what they're doing and they're detailed right down to the gnat's eye. So everybody knows exactly what everybody else is doing. And that's another barrier, that interaction with people, the communication barrier amongst the staff. People have to know what each other is doing and how they're doing it. So those are a few of the barriers.
I would say. It sounds like it. Okay, so we got metrics. Okay, yeah. And look, y'all listening, you know, if you don't have a management system where you're managing and measuring every person's production in your organization, that's something that has to be fixed. There's no way you can possibly manage if you're not measuring every single person's production in that organization. Would you agree with that, Fred?
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah, I have found that to be one of our critical areas right there. And, of course, you know, you got these business owners out there, Fred, running and starting businesses. What would you consider the biggest misconception they have about doing that?
Well, I hate to bring the tough news to you or anybody else. I don't think you, but it's one of the biggest is how much educational need one has to have. You know, if you look at a doctor, you know, this is my business, and the doctors, they've spent years, even if they've just come out of the university or just come out of veterinarian school or dental school or optometric school, they still spent years learning that profession. That's what they've learned. And maybe they've had one course if they're really lucky or even two in running a business. And as we both know, you know, I've taught MBAs. It's not really taught very well. It's not really taught in a systematic order. Anyway, having said that, what occurs is the person gets involved in it, and then 10 years down the road, you know, thank goodness they're a good practitioner, and by, you know, some type of experience talking to people, they sort of patched up their practices and got them growing. They will hit a certain level of management. Now, a brand new person coming in really doesn't have the background yet, and will learn
the hard way if they don't learn in some other way. So it's the that's the biggest misconception, is how much education you really need to have in business, finance, marketing, staff management, quality control, PR. Those are all areas that you have to know something about them. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you know, you'll read a book, you'll try the best you can, but it's not a system. It's not put in a systematic way. So I think the amount of work the person has to do, or getting the experts around them quickly, is a key. The other and speaking of experts, this is the other, I think if I had any words of advice to people who are either starting or even if they're 10 years or 20 years, look around you and make sure you got a great team. Have a good attorney. Have a good CPA. Have a good financial advisor. Have a good practice consultant. That's a team. Teams work better when you have experts. It's like in a football team, you know, you gotta have a good quarterback, good wide receiver, good tackle, good center. If everybody's good, you know, you can win the game. And when you don't have people who are really good, well, you're going to have problems, or you're not communicating with them. You're not dealing with them. You're waiting till the last second to, you know, try to get some help or something. You know, it's building that team and getting yourself educated. Okay, those are the two things that I think are really misconceptions that are out there.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I spend at least 5 hours a week studying all of those functions because, you know, I'm running a business, and that's a time above and beyond, you know, the time in the chair here working with clients. But all right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And up next, we're going to be wrapping up this interview with our very special guest, Fred King. And I believe he has a very special offer for you. So stay tuned. You're definitely not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Private practice Millionaire Academy founder and talk radio host of the Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, explains how to live your art and promote your brand. Professionals dedicated to pursuing excellence in their chosen field recognize that every profession, from hardcore scientist to abstract artist, have both science and art in that particular field. Science is a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths. Art is the quality, production, expression of what is beautiful and appealing. Every professional applies the science of his subject to create an effect. The individual aesthetics applied to the science to create unique results is the art form, wholly unique to that individual. This becomes the brand. Your brand is your warranty to the customer, the assurance that the artistic application of the science of what you do will afford them the results they seek. Discover the secrets to living your art and promoting your brand. Visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour, everyone. I'm your host, Christopher Music, and I'm here with my guest expert, Fred King, and we're talking about how to identify and overcome problems and barriers in your business so you can experience real success. We've covered a lot of information so far, and mostly about building systems and the importance of education and keeping metrics and all these different points of business management. So, Fred, as we go on here, what are some of the key areas that most business owners miss in the process of building their businesses?
I think the first thing I would say on that, and this may sound a little strange, but let me give it to you anyway, and that's this. From the moment they get their practice, that means the person first coming in, or they're 10 years in or they're 20 years, but with a mindset even from there, is thinking in terms of how will I transition out of my practice? What value can I get my practice to now? And that may sound a little strange for some people who have been just started their business, so they're 5 years into it and they're only in their 30s or whatever it may be. But I think those, as an example, who are in their 50s and 60s are starting to think about transitioning out, as they should, of what their value they can get out of their practice. But the question is, if you started that and I hear this all the time, I wish I would have started this sooner. I wish I would have thought of this sooner. So if that's the case, sooner is the best time to start something is now. So one would start thinking in terms of, if I'm I want to transition out, how would I do it? What are the steps that I need to go about ensuring that I transition out with the best value for my practice? And you start day one. And like I said, day one is now, today. And there are steps to that. You know, there are steps from, you know, I mentioned earlier about putting in systems. Of course you got to have systems. You know, we just had a talk from one of our seminars, conferences with our clients. We had talks from bankers. And one of the bankers, two of the bankers actually had indicated that if a person starts sooner thinking about transitioning, their value or their practice will do so much better, especially if they're getting help early putting in a systematic approach. It's the systems that are in place that you can pass off easily, that are strong, that make and give it value. And they're really coming to terms with that. And these were, you know, both big banks and small banks. So I think that's one big thing that is missed. Another is marketing. Really understanding marketing. Marketing changes. What was going on 30 years ago and what's going on today are different, really different. And it's gotten tougher in the marketing area. As an example, when I used to give talks on marketing 15 years ago, I used to talk about, you know, a person would get hit with 3,500 promotional eye contact of some sort or audio that people would get hit, whether that's driving down the street or wherever it may be, you're getting hit a lot with at that time with marketing. Well, that number has almost doubled since then. So it's huge. So the question is, how do you get through the noise? And not only how do you get through your noise, how do you market? And that marketing has got to constantly be looked at, reviewed, and upgraded. We're in a, you know, there's everything from social media, Twittering, websites, you know, people having great and really good websites. Those are all things that I found that it's a constant case that you've got to be on top of it, and you got to be on top of it today, really today, because others are getting it. And the younger you are, the more tuned in are you. And for those who are in their 50s, as an example, they're not quite as tuned in. You got to get tuned in quickly. So that's another myth that I think is happening. And that marketing also includes everything from surveying properly, et cetera. The third thing, you know, I'm beating this to death, but it's the truth. It's the amount of education you have to have for yourself and your staff. Staff have to be educated, and not just technical. They have to be educated on basic business, everything from how to ask for referrals and doing it properly, how to properly interact with each other, how to quantify what they're doing. You know, it's 2016. You know, you gotta be up with the times. And we were pushing measures 30 years ago, and is now really biting, and people are seeing the importance of measures and educating their staff, and they want to hold on to their staff, how important that is. And that's what's happening with whether it's the millennials and others, is they really want to be part of an important activity. And yeah, if people are going to promote that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more about the importance of the transition planning. That's kind of why I created one for professionals. You know, it is very important that marketing is always kept up to date. You cannot possibly be successful in business without having a highly trained staff and being up on the most recent technology. And with that being said, Fred, what is your view about why a business owner would consider hiring a consultant? Why does a business owner need a coach?
Well, all great players have coaches, and I don't know why a practice owner would not think of themselves as not a great player or trying to become a great player. Whether you're, you know, Michael Jordan or Peyton Manning or Jordan Spieth or, you know, Tony Romo, whatever sport or ice hockey, whatever sports are out there, they all have coaches, every one of them. And and they turn to somebody, and they, you know, they have, and that coach, what the coach has is the experience and knows what to do. Now, I'm you know, tooting my own horn on it, but, you know, having 5,000 people we've dealt with, 5,000 practices, there's an experience there that is important because we've been through it all. And a person should have a coach that understands that or has a background or has other consultants with them that they can turn to that has that. We've been through four recessions. We've been through the great recessions. I got videos of people saying, hey, you know, quote unquote, great recession. No way. I was going up. I was doing great. Mm-hmm. So that's because of an expertise. That's, you know, a good financial advisor is that way, and a good accountant or CPA. That's why I believe that people need good coaches.
You know, it's interesting to me. I always run across people. This is, you know, in your personal finance area or in the business area. Well, you know what? I'm going to read a book and I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to get on the internet and I'm going to read an article and I'm going to go out and implement that in my business. And, you know, I just had that happen recently. And I will tell you, my point of view is that that person's a fool. They're just a fool. I have been studying business and finance for 25 years. I have found that when you hire a consultant, what are you doing? You're hiring specialized knowledge and you're hiring experience. And if you can't take advantage of that experience, then you have a long, expensive road to go down. Wouldn't you agree with that, Fred?
Oh, boy, I would. I totally. You know, our motto is profit from our experience because, you know, we've already gone through all those hard knocks.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, that's all the time we have today, Fred, for our interview. But I want to thank you for being on the Financial Power Hour today and in sharing your experience and knowledge. But before you go, tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you. And I think you have a free offer, right?
I do. And thank you very much for having me, by the way. The offer that we're having special for your group is the fact they can have a full analysis, which is we charge $940 of their practice. And that takes some time, but we'll do it. $940 value for them. And that's going to be free. What they would call is 1-800-695-0257 and just mention your program and the fact that I offered the free analysis and they will get one.
Wow. Give us that phone number again.
1-800-695-0257.
Great. And Fred, is there any other way they can get a hold of you, like an email?
Yeah, they could email me at fking@silkenmanagementgroup.com.
Wonderful. And guys, if you could take advantage of this, I would absolutely would. It's a wonderful service. $940 of value. Fred is offering it to you complimentary for listening to this show. So, Fred, thanks so much for being here. You're truly our rock star, man. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Great. Now, folks, and now it's time in the show where we take some action. You know, it's all well and good to get some ideas and get some knowledge here, but if you don't put it down into strategy and do an implementation, it's not going to mean really anything. So grab a pen and write down one little thing you can do from what you've learned on this show today. Can you start measuring the production of your organization? Can you read a good marketing book? Can you get online and start to do some research in public relations or work out a process in your business that you can codify and put down in a very detailed and efficient process to improve your profitability? You know, the financial position you find yourself in today is your indicator on how well you have understood and applied the 21 laws of prosperity. You know, there are basic laws, and they're repeated over and over again. And I'm going to tell you that I put together this action guide called the 21 Laws of Financial Prosperity for Professional Practice Owners. You can go to my website at pchristophermusic.com. That's P as in Paul, christophermusic.com. And on the right-hand side, you can download it and take advantage of those 21 laws. And while you're on my site, feel free to connect with me through social media and sign up for past episodes of financialprosperitytalk.com. It's my hope that we have given you all this information and so you can achieve what's most important to you. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Financial Power Hour. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.